radical left has taken over the Democratic Party.
Hello and welcome to Think Progressively, covering politics and all the other chaos life has to offer. This is episode 8, recorded on Monday, October 5th from Milwaukee. I'm Joe.
And I'm Jason.
He's back!
Yay! No one's happy.
Back by unpopular demand, my beloved co-host Jason is back. And on today's episode, boy, what a week for Jason to miss. So we're going to be covering all the news and great headlines and the chaos from this week and catch him up. But first, well, I mean, it's all headlines, so play the music.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Fake, disgusting news.
First up in our episode, the New York Times is reporting that Trump maybe didn't pay his fair share.
But he pays millions. Millions, I tell you. That's my best Trump.
Sound like Mr. Burns.
It really did.
I mean, same person. Except I think Mr. Burns is legitimately a billionaire on The Simpsons.
Oh.
Shots fired.
On Sunday, September 28th, the New York Times reported that they had thousands of Trump's tax returns and some pretty crazy stuff that came out of them.
They had documents related to his taxes. It seems like the information that would generally be on your taxes, but not necessarily his tax returns.
Well, we don't know that for sure. They're not publishing their tax returns due to legal and privacy concerns. At least that's what the New York Times is saying. But we do have some of the information from them, and it says a lot. These documents show that Trump paid no taxes in 11 of the 18 years between 2000 and 2017. In both 2016 and 2017, he paid only $750 in income tax.
I pay more than that, Joe.
I pay more than that. You kidding me?
Yeah, that's pretty bad for somebody who claims to be a billionaire and is paying less than $1,000 in federal taxes. How is that? Well, that just shows that our system is completely broken.
Well, let's talk about why he is paying that little in taxes. We need to look at two different things here. One is that, as far as we know so far, the things that he did to lower his taxes were legal, but they were shady. The way Trump was able to do this was actually reporting major losses in many of his businesses, like his golf resorts and his hotels. And even while his businesses were declaring major losses, he was still writing off lots of personal expenses. For example, $70,000 in hairstyling for TV.
I heard that the Apprentice was the only thing keeping him afloat for a while.
That's correct. So he made approximately $421 million from The Apprentice because all of his businesses before that were just losing money everywhere.
Most of them have gone out of business.
Correct.
His casinos, Trump University, Trump Steaks.
Well, you know why, right?
He's a terrible businessman.
Bingo.
And he always leaves his partners with the bill.
Exactly. Well, and what's fascinating with this is that he got this $421 million where he got a big break from The Apprentice. And because he's such a savvy businessman, he spent it right away. He put it right back into his failing businesses, which inevitably failed, and spent more money on more properties, which also failed.
Now he's on to his next con, president.
Right.
Which somehow we fell for.
Best businessman ever.
He is a very good con man.
Yes, he is.
Very successful at that.
He's so bad at business, actually, that as of right now, he owes over $420 million in debt. $300 million of that is actually due within the next 3 years. So if he were to even be elected, it would be due within his second term. And that's crazy!
Destitute president, repo the White House. Air Force One has to be auctioned off. I heard one of the things that he did to try to not pay taxes on inheritance fees or gift fees is actually make Ivanka a consultant for his company and funnel hundreds of thousands of dollars to her that way.
Yep, through all different types of consulting fees.
Which I hear happens all the time, and there are laws against it, but most of the time they don't get prosecuted, and even when they do, a lot of times they are not successful.
And we'll talk about the debate in a little bit, but let's talk about what Trump said during the debate, because here's where he kind of gave himself away here. During the debate, he actually said that he paid out about 20-some million, 30-some million dollars in taxes and not $750, which is technically true, but not for the years that we were talking about, at least during the debate. See, when Trump was paying those taxes up to $20 and $30 million, that was back in the mid-2000s. So while The Apprentice was going on, Donald Trump actually faced substantial taxes, right? I mean, that's the idea. You make, you know, 400 some million dollars, you're going to face pretty hefty taxes because of that. And even though Trump paid almost $95 million in federal income taxes initially over those 18 years, he actually later was able to recoup most of that money by applying for and receiving a $72.9 million tax refund in 2010.
And the fact that all of this is probably legal is the reason that we need to look at the tax code and simplify it and go with just a straight graduated tax, in my opinion. To stop all of these shenanigans. Again, if you're rich, you pay people a lot of money in order for you to not pay taxes. And yes, it is generally perfectly legal. It's all these corporations don't pay anything in tax. They move all their money overseas and then state that, you know, the company that's here in the United States lost a bunch of money because they pay out millions and millions to these other companies overseas. It's ridiculous. And that's why we do need to do something about the way taxes work in this country, because it's slanted 100% for the dishonest and the rich, which 100% describes Donald Trump.
And this all comes to the fact that while he was applying for that $72.9 million tax refund, he was showing major losses in his investments and his businesses. So while he was actually kind of bankrupting his own businesses, he was taking our taxpayer money at the same time. And this is what led to a 2011 IRS audit, which is still going on today. It could end up in the federal court system, which would become public record, but that's still to be determined.
Does the IRS have a guillotine?
No. And if they did, it'd only be for poor people anyway. So what? So why is this important to us right now? First and foremost, we need to understand that Trump is a complete freaking liar. The entirety of his persona is about being a great businessman, making millions and millions of dollars, and being the smart, or the, you know, poor person's idea of what a smart person is. It's all a fraud. It's all a con. And this should completely dishevel any arguments for how good he actually is for running our country, because he's terrible at running his own stuff and taking advantage of tax codes, which just keep bleeding us dry instead of paying his fair share in taxes.
Donald Trump has always been marketing. He puts his name on everything. All of those businesses have always gone under. He was born rich. He inherited a ton of money from his father. He stole hundreds of millions of dollars in inheritance from his siblings, which they are suing him over. And he is just a con man. And he conned half of America.
So when your crazy uncle or aunt starts trying to tell you about how so-and-so welfare queen isn't paying their fair share and isn't being a good patriot, tell them that our president is doing so much worse for our country than any freaking welfare queen who's making $20,000.
Well, we mentioned the debate. Let's talk about the debate, Joe.
I don't want to do it. It's so triggering. Okay, fine. Where do we start?
The first bullet point here you have.
Oh, it's just the show. I mean, what else was it? It was the worst debate I've ever seen, even for presidential debates, which are usually bad to begin with. I mean, what do we say?
Yeah, there wasn't a time where Joe Biden spoke a sentence and he was not interrupted by Trump. And I've heard that that is actually a strategy that they probably devised because of his stutter to try to fluster him and get him to mess up in his speech so that they can say, see, he's senile.
Well, maybe that's a good starting point then. Like, what do you think the strategies were of each, you know, Trump and Biden throughout this debate?
I think Biden definitely was trying to avoid getting into an argument with Trump. He apologized at one point when he called him a clown. He was trying very hard to not engage in those mudslinging tactics.
He was trying to sound presidential.
Yeah, he didn't take the bait when Trump wanted to talk about him being way smarter than Joe, which is ridiculous. I would have 100% brought up the fact that his own sister said that somebody else took his SATs for him and that she used to do his homework to try to get him into college. But I think he was definitely just going to avoid all the personal stuff and just focus on the issues, because Trump can't talk about the issues. He doesn't have any plans for anything, which again was clear when they brought up medical care and what is Trump's plan to replace the Affordable Care Act. He keeps saying he's got, he said he has it 5 times during this debate, but where is it? He's been saying that for 5 years.
Right. So do you think Trump's strategy, like, legitimately was to turn this whole thing into a shit show?
It's what he's good at, right? To turn it into who's got the best insults, who's got the more juicy, you know, stories about the other person, who can grab headlines. That's what he's good at. That's what he did against Hillary. Crooked Hillary, crooked Hillary. What about Benghazi? All your emails. None of those are issues. None of those have any bearing on what either one of them would do when they're president. But that's what the story was. And that's what essentially won him the election. It's harder with Joe Biden, though, because he's a much more boring person. He doesn't really have much that you can grab onto. They've crafted this whole story with Hunter Biden, and he tried to, you know, grab that a few times.
And that didn't stick.
No, it doesn't, because there's really not much there. There's some nepotism, but can Trump really complain about somebody else's nepotism when, as we're talked about with the tax thing, his all of his kids are his employees that are getting paid millions of dollars, and now they're all federal employees and they're getting paid taxpayer money. And he's going to complain that the son of the vice president of the United States might get a cushy job from a company looking to garner some favor?
Well, what scared me was not that Trump was trying to hammer Joe Biden. I think, and I don't have really any evidence for this, I think Trump's whole idea was to turn this into a shit show, whether he looked good or not. Because I think he wanted to do the exact same thing he did with Hillary. He knew that the debates were probably going to make him look like garbage. I don't want to say him. He probably thought he looked great, but his staff probably knew that he was going to look like garbage. But the idea was to actually make Joe Biden just equal to him. If you have the entire narrative be around the debate being a shit show, then turnout goes down. And that's exactly what happened in 2016, because the debates were so bad, people just said, well, I hate both of them. And there was some talk about that afterwards from voters that I saw, where it's like they couldn't handle it. They didn't like either candidate. And I think it swayed some people to just be disinterested in even voting. And I think that's what Trump's actual strategy was. It wasn't to win voters over from Biden. It was to get people who were reluctantly voting for Biden to not vote at all.
He was clearly trying to push the, oh, you're losing the left, you're losing the left. He said that multiple
exactly.
times.
Exactly. And that's the big issue, where you see him constantly trying to pressure him from people who may be already disenfranchised and not interested in voting at all. It's like, yeah, don't vote for Biden. Vote third party. I don't care. Because if less people vote, there's a higher chance that Trump will win.
Yeah, I mean, statistics show the Republicans did not get more votes in the last election. It was just that the Democratic voters didn't show up.
Exactly. How bad do you feel for Chris Wallace?
He works for Fox News, and I don't feel bad for him. He got run over. He was very bad as a moderator. He really should have the ability to mute Trump. That would make a big difference in my mind. If it's supposed to be each candidate gets 2 minutes to talk, then the other person's microphone should be off during that time.
And I was so sick of Wallace babying Trump the entire debate, where he would be constantly interrupting Biden over and over and over again. And Wallace would be like, Mr. President, it was your turn already. You have to let Mr. Biden speak now. You have to, Mr. President, it was okay. Come on, you have to let your opponent speak now. Please, Mr. President, like, are you freaking kidding me?
And Trump's big soundbite from that debate where he told Chris Wallace, well, I guess I'm debating you too now. That was
right.
Actually what Chris Wallace had just said a minute ago, because Trump was just arguing with him, and he said, you're not supposed to be debating me. And then that's what Trump then parroted back a minute later. Well, I guess I'm debating you too then, but I'm not surprised.
It's yeah, like a
that, he just told you to stop doing, to stop arguing with him because he's the moderator and you're not supposed to be debating him.
And I was also sick of, like, every transition was, oh, Mr. President, you're going to love this next topic. Like, trying to, like,
yeah,
you know, offer him, like, a freaking cookie for shutting
right
up.
Would you stop being a baby here?
Right. I'll give you a softball question. Here you go. If you just shut the hell up.
And that, to me, I know a lot of people said they didn't enjoy it. But that was the best part, when Biden said, would you please just shut up, man? Because that's what we're all thinking at home. This guy just will not stop interrupting.
He talked like an imbecile on stage for an hour and a half.
That's not what your party says. Radical Bernie. You got Bernie's plan. Bernie. Green New Deal. That's all he did the whole time.
Right. But out of reluctance, let's talk about some of the subjects that were covered. Oh, and this was great. I love this. Where Trump's opening line to anything was, elections have consequences. It's like the most honest yet crazy beginning to a debate I've ever heard.
Yeah, and unless it's a Democrat who's in office, then that's fine.
Right.
But if it's a Republican, that's the thing, right? So we're kind of talking about the Supreme Court justice. It was fine for the Republicans to say, well, we're too close to an election. Let's let the voters decide on who gets to nominate a candidate because it's a Democrat and we know who he's going to nominate and we're not going to like it and we don't want them to have a majority. So we're just going to not vote on whoever he nominates and wait and hope that a Republican gets in to be president, which is exactly what they did, and it worked, and that gave them the majority in the Supreme Court, or held their majority in the Supreme Court, but it would have taken it away otherwise. So now that we're much closer to an election, it's, well, because we have control of the Senate, which, again, the Senate is not supposed to nominate a candidate.
Correct.
They are only supposed to vote on the nomination. They refused to actually do their job 4 years ago.
Correct.
So Trump's claim is, well, since we control both the presidency and the legislature, we can
do whatever we want. Yeah.
And yeah, we know we said it was not that way 4 years ago, but we don't care.
Well, that's why I was kind of disinterested in the Supreme Court topic of it, where it's the same thing we've already heard. It was nothing really new. Republicans are hypocrites.
Yeah, I do think that point could have been made a little stronger, because the only person that said Merrick Garland was Trump.
And I think that was my biggest criticism of Biden, especially in the first half, where he tried to be a little bit more reserved. But you could tell that he was not hitting Trump when he should have been. A perfect response would have been, oh, you want to talk about 4 years ago with Merrick Garland? Let's do that. Oh, you want to talk about who's going to have a better job with COVID? Let's talk about that. I wish he would have held Trump's feet to the fire so much more often.
Yeah, when Trump brought up the swine flu, oh, your response to the swine flu is so much worse. Oh,
right. Like, really? Right. That's why I would have had 200,000 deaths and the entire world shot down for swine flu. Like, are you kidding me?
It's ridiculous.
You had Trump again talk about how he wants to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
He said he was done. He took out the individual mandate.
And that was it. That's
mission accomplished.
He was so proud of it. I took out the biggest way to fund this entire thing and made it incomprehensible financially.
It's what makes it work for the insurance companies. And
yay me.
Yeah, it lowers cost. That's what I don't get. The Republicans know this. The fact that everyone has to have insurance lowers the cost for everybody, because when you don't have insurance and you go to the hospital and you have a huge medical bill, you're not going to pay that bill. And that cost then gets moved onto everyone else.
Yep.
So having I don't think anyone should have to have insurance. I think it should be a right and should be covered by the government like it is in the rest of the industrialized world. We are the only country that does not provide medical care to its citizens in the industrialized world.
Did you know that Joe Biden's a hardcore radical leftist who wants Medicare for all? Did you know that? I learned that from Trump at the debate.
Yeah, if I knew that, I might have actually voted for Joe Biden in the primary.
Which was just so crazy. He's like, you know, he wants Medicare for all. He wants socialism. He wants radicalized medicine. And Biden just like was looking like, no, I don't. And then there was like this really weird part of the debate where Trump, and we talked about this before, where Trump was trying to say, well, you lost the left.
Yeah, like we don't already know.
Right. Well, then like it was like a weird flex by Biden. It was like, I am the Democratic Party. They are me. Like, and it was just so bizarre. Where I get what the point he was trying to make, but it was such a weird flex.
Yeah, he could have just been like, look, my platform is my platform.
Right.
I may have some differences with other members of the party. That's great. It's happened before. It'll happen again. I'm the nominee. They chose me. Well, which is what he did say at one point. But
right. And that's the thing. That's all you would have to say. It's just
Trump's strategy was just to try to get him to say it. Like, I'm not for this. So he could say, oh, see, now the left can't vote for you. Like, right. We're stupid. And we don't know that Biden is not for Medicare for all. I already know that. That's not news to me.
Right, and I'm still going to freaking vote for him.
Yep.
And even then, it's better than what, and I'm glad Joe Biden did this, even though I wish he would have pushed harder. Trump still has no plan. The Republicans have no plan. And even during the debate, he talked about, oh, it's going to be great. We want to do it better. You had 3 years, 3 years with the presidency and the Senate in your favor. Part of that was also with the House. What are you talking about? You want to get it done later. You had your chance and you screwed it up. Everyone hated it.
And when they were talking about taxes, when Biden said he was going to increase the corporate tax rate back up, and Trump was like, why didn't you do that when you were vice president?
Right.
Yeah, because it was your tax cut, idiot.
Well, that's kind of the other funny thing, too, where you could tell Trump had those lines prepared, right? Because I think Trump's best argument, like legitimately best argument, is Joe Biden's long record in the Senate, right? The whole idea of do nothing Democrats. Okay, fine. But he's doing it at the worst possible times. Like you just said,
it's harder to do it as an incumbent.
Right. Well, it's like, well, why didn't you pass it back then? You know, why didn't you stop people like me from taking advantage of it?
So one of the things he said while talking about healthcare, because he's just so ineloquent and just says literally anything that comes to his mind. Trump made the statement, insulin is as cheap as water.
Oh, that was crazy. What was he talking about?
I have no idea. He just makes stuff up. Oh, it'll be so great. We'll buy drugs from other countries. Again, that's not really a plan.
Right.
That's you taking advantage of the fact that other countries know how to govern and have good healthcare plans and have laws that prevent pharmaceutical companies from taking advantage of their citizens. And we do not. So our solution for that is we'll just buy pharmaceuticals from Canada and Mexico. How is that a plan? How is he proud of that?
I don't know. Then after some more craziness and interrupting, Chris Wallace tries to transition them to coronavirus and how we should handle COVID in the future. And Chris is like just disheveled at this point. He hates his life. And he literally has to say out loud, and this is a serious topic, so can we please be serious about this here? What was that? Like, you knew we reached a new low in our politics when that has to be said out loud on the national stage.
Yeah, totally not embarrassing for America, which is something we've gotten used to over the last 4 years.
And I know we covered a lot of the COVID stuff already, the idea of, like, how Trump tried to call Biden out, saying, like, you would have, you know, killed way more people than I would have killed. Great freaking argument.
Yeah, I only killed 200,000 people. Yeah,
way more people would have died under your care.
And he keeps talking about, well, I stopped travel from China. Like, that stopped the virus from coming here? It did nothing, which is what people told you would happen. The studies show that most of our infections came from people traveling from Europe. If you were so concerned about COVID and weren't a racist and just making snap racist decisions, and you were really concerned, we have to stop people from bringing the virus here, you would have shut down all travel. Because just shutting down travel from China did nothing, which is what everyone told you, which is, he constantly says, everyone told me it was stupid to do it, but I did it anyway. Yeah, and look where we are. We are the worst country in the world for COVID infections. So it seems like you were wrong and everyone else was right yet again.
And this is also where Trump tried to mock Biden for wearing a mask all the time, where he said something along the lines of, you know, well, I got my mask right here and, you know, I'll wear it when I need to, when people are close to me, when people are far away, you know, but whenever I see him, you know, he has a mask and he wears it all the time. He has like the biggest mask I've ever seen.
Which is, again, a incredibly childish thing to say. The biggest mask you've ever seen.
Like, what was that? Like,
what does that have to do with anything?
And of course, this is just more.
And it's also just because Donald Trump's face is a lot bigger than Joe Biden's, so the masks look a lot larger on him.
But this is even more ironic, the fact that now we see after the debate that Trump did test positive for COVID right after.
Yeah, the big irony.
Oh, my God.
Which we'll, of course, get to.
Yeah. So then later on in the debate, they had the great idea of talking about racial issues and violence. Now, in any given presidential election, this would have been one of the easiest topics ever. But leave it to our president for screwing up one of the easiest softballs of all time.
Do you condemn white supremacy?
Well, I mean, what do you mean? I don't. Sure, I get. What do you want to talk about? Which
Who?
Ones?
Name a group. Racists.
Who do you want? Like, you want like the Proud Boys? Like, you know, stand back and stand by. You know, we'll
but
do
I'll
a layer.
Tell you what, somebody's got to take on Antifa and the left. And I how is that condemning
oh
them?
Oh my God!
That's saying, well, yeah, I mean, I guess, because I said I would, but honestly, I think they're doing some pretty good work out there. How could he be so bad at that and then later be like, yeah, no, I meant stand down? That's not what you said at all. You said, yeah, but somebody needs to take on Antifa and the radical left.
And I wish more media outlets covered that second part of the quote. I don't know. Yes, I understand why they're focusing on the Proud Boys thing, because that was stupid.
Which is now like their new slogan, by the way.
Right. But on top of that, you literally had someone say, yes, stand by, which kind of shows that they have some kind of control over the group, but someone needs to do something about Antifa. That's a literal indirect like way of saying, go take care of Antifa yourselves.
Yeah, that is almost an endorsement instead of a condemnation. And it even seemed to concern some Republicans. I heard Tim Scott said he wasn't very happy with that. Oh, he misspoke, but if he doesn't take it back, then I guess he didn't misspeak. Well, guess what? He didn't take it back.
Well, even Rick Santorum was quoted saying that...
It's Santorum.
Well, I mean, it was an unfair question. You know, it was totally unfair that Chris Wallace said this because everyone knows he doesn't want to dismiss people who are already supporting him.
Bingo. Like, oh, the white supremacists are his supporters.
Oh, my God. I don't get it. And then, of course, Biden's just sitting there just like looking in amazement. Like, I don't need to say a damn thing. I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah, this was the issue of the debate. I've heard, like, if you want to see who wins a debate, just look at who has to explain themselves more after. And this was the part that Trump had to explain the day after.
I mean, and he even had to go out and actually have like an actual condemnation of white supremacy afterwards because it was so bad. But I want to talk about this argument that a lot of conservatives are making where they'll say like, oh no, he clearly condemned white supremacy. Didn't you hear him say sure?
Yeah, he mumbled sure under his breath twice.
Like, great. Like, I like to have a little bit more solid evidence that my president actually condemns white supremacy when asked.
Hey, Joe?
Yes.
I need you to condemn McDonald's.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, sure. I mean, what do you want me to do here? But someone's got to do something about Burger King.
What a strong condemnation of McDonald's.
Then he went on to say about how Antifa is this horrible group and try to get Joe Biden to condemn Antifa.
Which then Biden just used the quote from Trump's own FBI director against him, saying it's more of an ideology. It's not really a group. They don't have an organization. There's no one to round up. There's no headquarters to go bust. It's just anti-fascism.
And that pissed Trump off.
Well, he's wrong.
He literally called out his own FBI director on stage. What is that? Apparently, that's what I'm going to keep saying this entire time.
That's what you've been saying this entire podcast.
Well, I am so baffled. Like, what's happening anymore? This was in a week.
And Biden did point out that Trump just constantly disagrees with everyone around him and nobody knows anything and he's the expert on everything, which is that's Donald Trump and that's narcissism and that's someone who's not fit to be the president.
I am a very stable genius. Don't you mock me.
Speaking of inciting violence, what about his directive to go to the polls and watch?
Oh my God. Yeah, this is where actually Trump scared me with what he was saying. I mean, a lot of the rest of his stuff was just stupid, but this is where he is actually inciting people to go illegally to the polls to cause chaos and intimidate voters at the low end of the damage that he could be doing with this.
White supremacists has never caused any kind of violence at the polls before, Joe.
Well, and let's talk about one of his examples, like in Philadelphia, right? Where he said people were turned away by the elections commissions in Philadelphia because they were trying to help out be poll observers. What he doesn't tell you is that people who are working for a specific campaign or volunteering with a campaign cannot help at the polls unless they're on election day. That's why they were sent home. It wasn't bias. They weren't trying to do anything nefarious.
They're
Trump's
all
an
out
idiot.
To get me. It's all a conspiracy.
But what scares me again about this is he again tried to undermine the legitimacy of the election. He explicitly said that it was a rigged election, that he still will not trust the results about all the mail-in voting.
It's only rigged if he loses, by the way. He's said that.
Well, and this is where I really wish Chris Wallace actually stepped up to be a good moderator here, and he didn't do it. He was just making up anything, and Chris didn't call him on like any of this stuff. And what was worse is that he actually said that there was a secret coup out to get him. Do you realize how dangerous it is to tell your followers that there is a secret coup out to get you from being president? That is straight up something that will cause a civil war.
Yeah, it's not a secret coup. It's called a presidential campaign. I am legitimately worried that he will not allow himself to be removed from office when he loses the election.
I'm legit worried what his followers are going to do if he loses.
Somebody has to do something.
God. And then to finish it out, they did talk about climate change for like 10 minutes. And Trump tried to hammer Joe Biden on the Green New Deal, which he doesn't really. Well, okay, it's weird. Trump tried to say that Biden supports the Green New Deal. He technically doesn't. However, his plan incorporates several things from the Green New Deal. And it was so dumb. And he would just talk about how, oh, you're going to, you know, support the Green New Deal. And they want to get rid of airplanes. And oh, they want to take away our cows.
They want to take out the cows. First, they come for the cows.
And I said nothing.
Because I was not a cow. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Cows produce a lot of methane. And it would be nice if we could lessen the production of methane, maybe by being responsible. Oh, they're coming for the cows. They're going to kill all the cows. No more hamburgers.
Oh, and I want to talk about one more thing going back to the race and violence topic. How racist do you have to be to turn a topic about racial issues and racial disparities into trying to get Joe Biden to admit that he's for law and order or not?
Yeah, the guy who wrote the crime bill. After you say that, on one hand, oh, you wrote the crime bill, you are against black people, all this stuff, which he did write the crime bill.
Well, and then, like, I don't even know. Like, I guess Trump thought this was a great gotcha moment for, I don't even get it. Where Trump kept going on and on, well, say law and order. You refuse to say law and order. This is like the same bullshit when they were trying to say, like, well, you can't say radical Islamic terror, like that type of crap back in the early 2010s. But, you know, he's like, say law and order, say law and order. And Biden just goes, well, yeah, law and order, but I want law and order with justice. See, he didn't say law and order. What do you think happened with this debate? Do you think this even mattered at all? And what do you think about the upcoming VP debate with Pence and Kamala?
If Pence does not test positive between now and then, I am really looking forward to it. I think that Kamala is a much better debater than either Biden or Trump or certainly Pence. Pence is, talk about somebody who's boring and has no personality. Again, he used to be a radio show host. I don't understand.
Oh, God.
Who would listen to that?
I don't even know. Well, and I think Kamala is going to do what we wanted Tim Kaine to do back in 2016. So I'm hoping Kamala just wipes the floor with him and, you know, we'll see what happens because at this point, who knows what can happen anymore.
Yeah, they will have a plexiglass divider between them, I heard, just before recording. And they will be 12 feet apart instead of 7, which was the original distance. But due to the fact that Pence has had a lot of intimate contact, well, not, you know, according to his wife, but she was probably in the room if there was any women involved. But he has had close contact, we'll say, with many of the people that have tested positive recently.
And then if we have another presidential debate, who knows, what advice would you give Joe Biden? What do you think he could have done better? And like, can we even say that he did bad or good with this debate?
I think he did. Personally, I think he did fine. There wasn't much that, again, his strategy in my mind for this debate was to try to just talk policy and not get dragged into a fight.
I agree.
And I mean, it depends on how you think he did there, as if you'd want him to continue with that strategy and just keep trying to hammer Trump on policy because Trump doesn't have any policy. See the why you should vote for Joe Biden episode, or to kind of take the gloves off and actually get into some of these fights and try to go at Trump for some of his more personal issues. I would say he's probably better off sticking to policy. As much as I really want to see someone, anyone, really give Trump a fight in that way, I don't know if current Joe Biden is really up to that. I think Trump is very quick-witted and good at those sorts of things. That's what he excels at. He's a jerk, so he is very good at saying jerk things. And I don't really think that Biden can match that. So I think he should stick to the issues. That's where Trump can't match him and can only, you know, do those childish things like try to interrupt him. I would definitely, if I'm Biden, I push for, much like they're doing with the vice presidential debate, I push for the plexiglass divider. It's a good show of, hey, I have to protect myself from this irresponsible idiot who doesn't think COVID is anything to worry about and ended up spending multiple days in the hospital because he caught it from somebody, because he doesn't take the necessary precautions that we want all Americans to take, which is why he's killed and is responsible for killing over 200,000 citizens with his leadership. He leads the way people follow, and they got sick. That's why he gets sick, because he's not responsible. He doesn't show that responsibility. He can say, well, I wear a mask when I think I need it. Clearly, he didn't think he needed it in that Amy Comey Barrett party that they had where they you know, spit in each other's mouths or whatever, however they ended up giving it to each other. And that's exactly what his followers do. They do what they see him doing, not what he'll occasionally say when pressed on a national stage, what they see from him. And I think that Biden needs to really highlight that. And it's good theatrics to have a big plexiglass barrier between the two of them, because you know who had COVID and who didn't. So it's a good reminder. I think he should try to keep as far apart from him as possible. That's another good visual on all the clips and everything. Like, why are they so far apart? Oh, that's right. Trump got COVID because he's irresponsible. And the more you talk about COVID, I think the worse it is for Trump. So keep just bringing that up. Ask him how he's feeling, that sort of thing. It'll make him mad. And when I think he was flustered when they came to the Proud Boy thing, that was the most heated part of the debate, and Trump made a mistake, which I think he is likely to do when he's upset.
I agree with all of that. Just to add one more thing, you know what I would love to see Biden do? I would love for him to actually have a super energetic and charismatic approach when talking about his policy. So like you said before, I think he should stick to his policy. Don't get involved in the mudslinging, because one, it's either A, you're going to lose because I think Trump's just better at being a jerk. And two, even if you win, it just equates you both at looking stupid and bad. Keep your head above the fray and just stick to the policy. But even when Biden was actually talking about policy during the first debate, he was so angry and pissed off. And I get why, but like, even when he was trying to talk about the good stuff that was happening in his debate, when he was talking about like the $3 trillion jobs bill or the clean jobs bill that he was going to propose, he should get excited about that stuff. Like, could you imagine how good it looked for some people where he says, oh yeah, like we're going to do this cool $3 trillion jobs bill. We're going to have all these clean jobs, are talking about, you know, wind and solar energy. We're going to get all these people coming across the nation, talk about get our infrastructure going and just dive right into it. And then Trump's going to be his idiotic self. And he just kind of says, no, shut up, I'm talking. And then just keep like have a big smile on his face, look ecstatic the entire time and get just pumped about like all the good he can be doing for the country. I think that would speak volumes at debates and show a definite difference between Trump and Biden, where even as president, you see Trump talking nothing about positives. It's all negative, all trying to tear things down, even when he's the one in charge doing things. So imagine what it's like to have a guy talking about positive, and not just positive, like in a vague, vapid sense, but more as, let's dive into policy. I'll tell you exactly how I can help you guys at home and what we're going to do in the next couple of years of how to bring this country back. I think that would do wonders for him.
Good point. So let's talk COVID.
Let's talk COVID.
We are in one of the biggest hotspots in the country currently for COVID.
Yep.
Wisconsin. And I, as actually last week, was in the North Woods.
Which is the biggest hotspot area.
Which is, yeah. I was isolated. Don't worry. There was no, I
swear to God, if you give me COVID, I'm going to be so pissed.
I did not go out to restaurants. And although I will say some independent reporting here, even the couple like gas stations and grocery stores that I went into, there were signs on the door that said that you were supposed to wear a mask, but no one inside, no employee, like nobody was wearing masks. We went into a winery, which was really close to where we were.
Okay.
With masks on. And it's a small like little gift shop. And the lady working there, who is an owner, said, oh, we don't require masks here, so you can take them off if you want.
Oh, my God.
Which I did not do. But there's the biggest COVID growth rate for new cases and positive percentage and even hospitalizations in the country, and they're not taking it seriously. They don't think it's a big deal. Where would they get that idea from?
I wonder. Well, and also let's focus on the idea that, I mean, it won't happen, but that our freaking Congress right now hasn't done anything in the last 6 months COVID related. We are, by definition, one of the least active Congress or state Congresses in the entire country since COVID hit. And the minute that our governor puts a mask mandate extension, they jump immediately right in to sue.
And whenever he tries to call them in for a special session,
gaveled in, gaveled out.
Yep, they're there for a minute. They come in, they dismiss the session, they go home. They don't vote on anything, they don't do anything.
Like, how does this not piss off more people? I mean, I get the idea that people don't know about it, but even then, when I try to tell people about it, they're like, well, I don't know about that. What are you talking about? The Republican Party is killing our state, literally, in this circumstance. And I'm so sick of the, well, we need to give people a choice, you know, argument. I don't want to hear another goddamn word about trusting the public to make the right decisions ever again.
They don't. They don't make the right decisions.
Right, because we actually had it decently under control in Wisconsin. We did.
When we're able to go out to a restaurant again, maybe in a couple of years, do you want it to be their decision whether or not they wash their hands, whether or not they keep the kitchen clean, whether or not there's bugs and rodents in the kitchen? Should that be their decision? That's their right, their choice?
Well, why do we have drunk driving laws?
In Wisconsin, we barely have drunk driving laws.
I mean, you're
laws,
right.
To be fair. But no, it's not personal choice when it comes to people's safety.
Other people's safety, to be specific.
Well, even like seatbelts, you should have a law to wear seatbelts.
That's true, yeah.
It affects all of us because when you get mangled in a car accident, who ultimately has to pay for all of that? It's in the public interest for everyone to wear a mask. And it's not just you personally. It's everyone you come into contact with. You can say, well, if I get it, I get it. No, it's not just you. It's everyone you are near. Because you are not wearing a mask, you are spreading your germs to everyone around you.
And I'm so sick of the herd immunity argument, like the natural herd immunity argument. Like, well, you know, well, everyone's just going to get it eventually. You know, we should just get it over with sooner.
And that's not true. When we talk about herd immunity as a useful thing against disease, we are talking about vaccine levels of herd immunity. We're not saying everyone get the measles so that we all have herd immunity. No, it's everyone get vaccinated so that we collectively have herd immunity due to vaccination.
Well, and they're already looking at like testing the antibodies or the natural antibodies of people who have had COVID. And we're approximately what? It's like 9% people who are potentially immune based on the antibody levels.
And we hear plenty of stories of people getting it seemingly multiple times.
Right. But like, think about it, 9% who are potentially naturally immune in our country right now. To get actual herd immunity, we need to be looking for a population that's around 80% of the antibody levels.
I don't even want to talk about herd immunity when it comes to that way of people catching the disease and developing immunity naturally.
But that's what people in our state are advocating for.
Yeah, that's not even part of the discussion in my mind.
I really wish it wasn't, but it unfortunately is. As stupid as it is, and the fact that you're wishing for a million people to die, that is unfortunately a part of our discussion right now, not only with our own citizens who are too stupid to understand, but with our legislators who are too stupid to understand.
Yeah, I don't want to hear herd immunity until we have a vaccine. Then we can have an explanation for what it means to have herd immunity and how that should be used to push people to get vaccinated. And no, Bill Gates is not trying to microchip you, you idiot.
Sometimes I just hate the states.
Speaking of people we hate.
The president has COVID. We already talked about this, but oh my God, the president has COVID. I need to say it again.
It was a great day.
It's a wonderful day.
Team COVID, finally. Trump made me find a way to appreciate a deadly disease.
You know, I saw on a couple of different posts where they said, you know, there are a lot of doubting atheists tonight, the day they found out Trump had COVID.
Yeah, that kind of misled me when I saw a couple people posting that, because it was not really in context. And I thought, yes, it happened. It happened.
My other favorite one is I saw another meme that said, well, it looks like RBG just won her first case in heaven.
Yeah, that's... And, oh, you know, he's going to be visited by the ghost of Christmas past or whatever. Like, again, misleading. I was hoping for something there, and it wasn't what they were saying.
Right. So let's talk about this. So during the weekend, you had several different messages from his medical staff saying actually pretty contradicting things, which confused the hell out of everyone. Some was saying like, yeah, he's doing great. And then our parts were like, no, he's not great. He's actually in pretty serious condition. You had Mark Meadows contradicting his medical staff.
Which is his chief of staff.
Right.
The timeline seems to be Friday night, like early in the morning, right? Like 1 a.m, he announced that he had tested positive. He was still at the White House throughout Friday morning. And then reports are that his oxygen level was dropping.
Correct.
And he was having some trouble breathing.
Also seeing some various other symptoms, like I think extreme fatigue and some nausea, and I think a cough too.
So he went to Walter Reed, the military hospital in Bethesda, which is where all presidents are treated ever since FDR. So he was taken there by Marine One, the helicopter, Friday afternoon, or was it Friday evening?
Friday evening
at like, it was like 5 o'clock or something.
And then according to his medical staff, he's been given three different types of medications. One is Regeneron's monoclonal antibody therapy, which is kind of like a concoction that will actually help you supply more antibodies to you, help your immune system fight various viruses. It's an experimental drug that's not approved currently by the FDA, but it has been being given during various clinical trials. The second is remdesivir, which is an antiviral drug, and it's a 5-dose or 5-day treatment with it. Also not FDA approved, but it's actually been one of the first therapies in the United States that's been allowed to give emergency use authorization. And usually this is the drug that doctors will give COVID patients that are either moderately to severely ill. And the last drug is dexamethasone, which is a steroid that actually helps with inflammation. According to a CNN interview with Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who is a chief of infectious diseases at Massachusetts General Hospital, she said dexamethasone is generally used when patients are heading down the wrong path, and the drug is typically given to patients on supplemental oxygen or needing ventilation. So, not great.
Yeah, I definitely could see a situation where they are literally just giving him everything. Just based on the fact that they don't want all of those negative outcomes. So I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't like a kitchen sink kind of approach where they're just throwing everything at him.
No, I completely agree, by the way.
Yeah, the steroid's a little worrisome just because it does lower your immune system. So if that wasn't necessary, he could be open for infection or, you know, secondary issues. Due to it's suppressing your immune system. That's what steroids do. That's why it knocks down inflammation. Inflammation is your own body's response.
Correct. Well, and that is actually a legitimate discussion in the medical community with this, where they do feel like there is some mystery going on because they don't know if it's actually as bad as what the drugs make it seem, or it's just because they're actually overprescribing because he's the president.
Yeah, and no one knows except those doctors.
Correct. And let's be real here. Like, this is also the Trump administration doctors. We would already be skeptical because any presidential medical staff would try to paint it with a rose color.
It's happened before. There is a history of covering up surgeries and things like that for presidents. Exactly.
But this is an administration that exhausted all credibility.
And this started day one.
Right.
They are still insisting that his inauguration crowd was the largest in history. It's of course not true. And it has not stopped since then.
So no one has any idea what to believe with these people anymore. In fact, I mean, you still see people who are putting out conspiracies because they truly don't even know what to believe. It's like, does he even actually have COVID? Was this all a big ploy? I have no idea what to believe. We'll see what happens.
So what do you think? What side are you on? We kind of talked about, I said I didn't want to know what your opinion was before we started recording because I want to know now. Are you of the opinion that you would feel better if he died of COVID? Or some people have said, well, I want him to get better so that he can face some sort of justice post-president and have him be of sound mind and body when he loses the election and then has to face trial or something similar.
Die of COVID prior or post-election day?
Prior.
I would not want our president to die before election day because that would basically throw us into a crisis, like a constitutional crisis. You would have to invoke the 25th Amendment, which would then cede power to Mike Pence, which would throw the voters into complete mass confusion because you wouldn't be able to change the ballots. It's too late. Donald Trump will have to be on the ballot. But technically, you have to have people say, well, you're voting for Donald Trump, but it's actually going to be for Mike Pence. But you're still voting for Donald Trump in that case. And what's the actual power of Mike Pence in this scenario? It'd be a complete total mess. So I would not want him to die beforehand, personally.
What about post-election?
Personally, I don't care. If he lives or dies, I couldn't care less. I don't necessarily want him to die because I don't want anyone to die. But if he does, no skin off my bones.
Okay.
What about you?
I want him to die. If he could die tonight, that would be great. If it's tomorrow, I'm fine with that. That would be, it's poetic justice for someone that is still, to this very moment, downplaying the severity of a disease that has killed multiple hundreds of thousands of people and counting in this country, and would be that's the end of the election, right? I mean, Joe Biden wins in a landslide. I don't care that they'd be like, oh, it's extenuating circumstances. I don't care. I hope Republicans stay home after Trump dies and don't vote and all of their other representatives lose and people are super upset about it. And it's a big, I don't care. I want him gone. He's never going to face justice for all those people that are saying, oh, well, I want to see him get thrown in jail and have him die in jail. It's never going to happen. Rich people do not have the same justice system the rest of us have. He will be pardoned, even if it's by Joe Biden. You don't think Biden's not going to pardon him? Of course he is. So I don't care. I don't care what the ramifications are. I don't care if it makes me a bad person. I don't care if it's, oh, it's so immature. It's so mean for you to say, I hope he dies. I don't care if Melania dies. Barron could die. End his whole line. No more of his genetics in the world. I would be happy.
But tell me how you really feel.
So there. That's what I wanted to share.
And I think we should talk about some of the reasons why Jason may feel this way. First and foremost, let's talk about how he literally put his Secret Service in danger to get more publicity.
The parade that he had, the little mini parade.
Where he had a little mini parade where he got into one of his SUVs and drove around Walter Reed Hospital and waved at supporters.
The Secret Service didn't seem to like being taken advantage of in that way and being put in harm with a known positive COVID patient in the same, in very enclosed, by the way, car with them. Because, you know, windows up, it's got to be bulletproof glass. I'm sure there's some kind of hermetic seal going on in that SUV. That's not a great position to be in. You know, masks help and all, but they're not, they weren't wearing respirator masks. They were wearing, the Secret Service appeared to be wearing the KN95, which are not the respirator style, and Trump appeared to be just wearing a cloth mask.
Or you have multiple quotes leaked from Secret Service officials saying that they didn't want to do this. They felt like they shouldn't have been there, but they couldn't say no.
Yeah, they can't. That's their job.
Right.
They have to go where the president goes.
So you literally have the president putting his own Secret Service in danger because he's in a super confined space with them.
These are people that have pledged to take a bullet for him if necessary, and he puts them needlessly in harm's way. And there have been Secret Service that have gotten COVID at Trump rallies and events. It has happened. The Tulsa rally, multiple Secret Service agents.
Yep.
And that makes them work longer hours because they don't have an infinite supply of them and, you know, stresses them out, puts them in bad positions already.
And according to Dr. James Phillips, who is affiliated with Walter Reed, also tweeted out saying the risk of COVID-19 transmission inside the presidential SUVs is as high as it gets outside of medical procedures. The irresponsibility is astounding. My thoughts are with the Secret Service forced to play. It is completely ridiculous. There, our own president put his own agents.
And he was tweeting out things earlier saying, oh, he was meeting with all the people at Walter Reed, all of the military that's there that wanted to meet him. Did they know he just tested positive for COVID? Like, that in and of itself is highly irresponsible.
But let's talk about what he tweeted today, huh?
Speaking of irresponsible, yes, the president's quote from earlier today.
Just a few hours ago.
Yeah, as he is getting ready to leave his multiple day hospital stay from being positive for COVID, which is currently a global pandemic, his tweet was, I will be leaving the great Walter Reed Medical Center today at 6:30 p.m. feeling really good. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. We have developed, under the Trump administration, some really great drugs and great knowledge. I feel better than I did 20 years ago. What does that say to you?
That we're all going to die.
Does that, if you are a Trump fan and you believe what he tells you, and he just was in the hospital for 3 days.
Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life.
I feel better than I did 20 years ago.
After 3 days.
Doesn't that indicate that you should contract it then so that you can feel better than you did 20 years ago? He lies so hard that it makes no sense. It's so much worse than if he would just be even somewhat honest. But he goes to lie and he literally cranks the lie dial to 11 to the point of absurdity and ends up saying things like, I feel better than I did 20 years ago.
And the real damage of this is when you have him saying, don't be afraid of COVID, don't let it dominate your life. You're going to have more and more people say that even if they don't believe it's a hoax anymore, which is another case of stupid, they don't think it's that big of a deal.
Look, I know your grandmother died alone in the hospital and you couldn't even visit her. Don't let it dominate your life.
This is that whole like, well, I refuse to live in fear crap. Are you kidding me? And that's like the least crazy damage he could be doing. You have people going even farther, probably assuming that he's being protected by freaking God because he's some kind of superhuman because he already defeated COVID.
Well, at least his doctors are saying that he's not out of the woods yet, that he may be feeling good because he's been taking steroids, but there could still be some danger. Let's hope.
Well, let's also let it be known that there are psychological side effects to taking steroids. And he's been kind of tweeting like crazy all day today. He's on something.
That's not anything unusual. So, Joe.
Yeah.
Walter Reed Medical Center. Who works at Walter Reed Medical Center?
Dr. Reed.
Dr. Reed. Who pays the doctors at Walter Reed?
I believe the taxpayers, Jason.
Okay. So that makes it a taxpayer-funded hospital.
That is correct.
Staffed by government employees.
Yes. Government healthcare, my friend.
That's social. Is Donald Trump Bernie Sanders now?
When it benefits him. Hey, technically, according to Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump is a socialist for the rich.
Oh, that is true. He does want social programs just for the rich.
Exactly.
He's benefited from them his entire life. But, I mean, he's saying that he had the best care and that he's feeling great after going to a government-funded hospital and getting treatments that he will not be asked to pay for. Sounds like a good deal. It's in place for Congress. It's in place for the president. It's in place for the Supreme Court. You'd think it should be in place for the people that pay for all of that.
I agree. But now Trump isn't the only one affected by this, right?
No, he did catch it from someone.
I believe it was Hope Hicks, or at least that's the main.
She was the first person.
Yeah, she was the person to test positive for it.
And after she developed symptoms.
So who all do we have as of right now?
So Hope Hicks, she was a Trump aide. She's worked for the Trump administration in multiple stints, in between which, of course, she worked for Fox, like a good Trump employee. You have Melania Trump. I have here Trophy Wife in our list. Kellyanne Conway, Sewer Rat Barbie, I think she was referred to at one point. Former counselor for the White House. Chris Christie, the original big boy and former New Jersey governor. Trump's very own campaign manager, Bill Stipien. So at least instead of going to jail, he just got COVID. That's an improvement over previous campaign managers. Notre Dame president John Jenkins did not pray hard enough the day before contracting COVID.
Did you see how Notre Dame's, they have a COVID like tattletale system? Basically, they have a report system to report anyone who may have COVID. And all the students immediately like took to that website and started reporting the president for his irresponsible behavior. Here's the other thing. Please keep going through your list. Note that any of these people disregarded basic rules and guidelines that would have had kids expelled from schools for not following these rules. These are the leaders of our country and leaders of universities, top universities, not following the most basic of rules that children and college kids follow.
We have three Republican senators, Mike Lee of Utah, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, and gasp,
Ron
our very
Johnson.
Own Ron Johnson.
Whoa!
Not to be confused with author and much better person John Ronson, Wisconsin senator and douchebag, who claims that he will, even if he is still positive, will still go to the Senate and vote to confirm Amy Coney Barrett, by the way.
I think he's also came out against like any mask mandates as well.
Of course. Open it up. Nicholas Luna, who is a personal assistant to Trump, body man, it's been called. I don't know what that is. I don't even want to think about that. Just today, Kayleigh McEnany, White House press secretary. Now, she's been tested every day since this started and was negative for multiple days until today when she's been positive, which just goes to show this might not be over.
Oh, not by a long shot.
Now, this seems to have come from an event hosted in the Rose Garden to celebrate the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett, who, by the way, is negative, but she also has had COVID previously in the summer. So she may have antibodies. Again, something that we really don't understand very well enough. But there were plenty of Republican lawmakers and officials. William Barr was there. He's also quarantining currently, probably assuming is if you watch the video, I mean, these people are hugging, shaking hands, talking like literally 3 inches from each other's face, like closer than I would talk to someone 5 years ago before any of this. They are like, again, like I said, like literally spitting in each other's mouths at this event. Nobody's wearing, Tom Tillis was actually wearing a mask, the North Carolina senator, but they also do like lunches together and stuff, so he could have also caught it during then, or again, masks are not 100% when someone is right on top of you. They're not really designed to be, again, they're not respirators, it's not a hermetically sealed suit, it's just a mask. You still have to be a responsible human being in the time of a global pandemic, and I want to choke my microphone while I'm saying that because people just don't understand it. That's why it's not going away. It's gone away in all these other countries where they're being responsible and taking this seriously and actually sacrificing in order to be able to open up. That's the thing. Everyone's like, we need to open up the economy. We need to go back to life
people,
as normal.
People are struggling. We need to open it all up.
If we would just take it seriously for a few months and isolate, quarantine, have the government pay, like everyone's off of work. That's we're shutting everything down. Don't worry about it. You'll get, you know, the government will foot the bill. We could easily do it. We spend trillions of dollars on tax cuts for businesses during this. A lot of businesses that didn't need it. It could easily be done. We can pay for it. I promise. We fund wars endlessly. We could pay for this. A couple months. Everyone stays home. We would get to the point where we are like other countries, like Korea, like Vietnam, like New Zealand, where things are, for the most part, normal. We would still need to wear masks. We would still need to social distance, but we could get everything back up and running safely. And if we have spikes, isolate those areas and contain them. Like they say they want to do now, but you can't do it now because it's not isolated in a specific area. It's everywhere.
Yep.
Because we're not taking this seriously.
Because of my freedoms.
I mean, you hear these stories of what people went through during World War II and all of the recycling and saving and growing crops, you know, in victory gardens because you can't buy anything in the store because everything's going off to the war effort. And people did it gladly. And that was real sacrifice. And what we're asking people to do today
is put a piece of cloth over their face.
And don't go out to the bar. And we don't do it.
No. Well, and then even we have people who are trying to recall our governor in our state because of it.
Because of a mask mandate.
which other people states don't even have been follow. Doing forever now.
And which you can just not follow, and it's fine. I don't know. So hopefully this will derail the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation, because we have three senators that are out currently having to quarantine. There are three more that are quarantining just in case. Hopefully we're going to get a whole bunch more. And I think the whole judiciary, the Republican Judiciary Committee, was at that Rose Garden event. There are 12 Republicans on the Judiciary Committee, and the vote to move it out of committee to the Senate proper is on October 12th. Or the vote itself is on October 15th. The hearing's set to start on October 12th. If they do not get 11 people, there's 12 Republicans, 10 Democrats on that committee. So right now, they don't even have 11 Republicans. They only have 10 because two of them, Mike Lee and Tom Tillis, are out. If they're not back by the 15th and the Democrats show some guts and some unity and boycott that vote, they can't do anything.
Well, be aware that you can still see Mitch McConnell trying to do something, right?
They'd have to try to change the law. I mean, as desperate as they get, the more they want to try to rewrite law to enable to get this forward, I think the worst it's going to look for them. Mitch has not been looking so great in the latest polls.
Yeah, but he doesn't care. He's one of the most untouchable senators in the country.
Let him do it. I say make them change the rules in order, but I don't know if they can do that. They do not have a quorum. I don't know that they can pass anything without that. And so their zeal for having this party to, you know, this show of force that they're going to ram through this nominee might have doomed them. And I hope it does. Again, it's poetic. Trump dies. A bunch of senators die, Ron Johnson, and they can't do anything. That would be wonderful. It would be great.
So Joe Biden and Jill Biden currently have tested negative for COVID, which is good. Chris Wallace also tested negative, which is also good. But can you imagine the sheer stupidity and irresponsibility that Trump and his family completely disregarded the in-person rules set by the Cleveland Clinic, which we'll talk about in a little bit, for this debate? How stupid and reckless can you possibly be? So let's dive into this. So according to Chris Wallace, everyone who was in the debate hall was tested by the Cleveland Clinic. Well, kind of. See, actually, during a Fox News segment on Friday, Wallace also said that Trump and his family and campaign staff actually arrived too late to be tested on site by the Cleveland Clinic, so they had to rely on the honor system to do that. Quote, "They didn't show up until 3, 4, or 5 in the afternoon. Yeah, there was an honor system when it came to the people that came into the hall from the two campaigns." Cleveland Clinic also released a statement saying that everyone who entered the debate hall did test negative before coming into the debate that night. But even when you had everyone who was supposed to be testing negative before they came into the hall, there was a rule by the Cleveland Clinic for everyone in the debate hall, except for the three people at the front of the hall, which were Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and Chris Wallace, to wear masks throughout the entire debate. That was agreed upon. Trump's family and campaign staff wore masks while coming in and then immediately took them off. Someone from Cleveland Clinic came and offered them masks, but they were just waved away and refused to wear masks the entire time.
That's the problem, right? They somehow, in their minds and in most conservatives' minds all throughout the country, wearing a mask is a sign of weakness. It's what we've been talking about this entire time.
Which is so stupid.
It is, and it's dangerous, and it's terrible. And that's why I hope the president and his entire family and all the Republicans that were at that Rose Garden event die. That's all. That's why. We just need a demonstration of how these things work.
But you even had Naomi Biden tweet during the debate, because she was sitting there, saying, quote, "Why is the Trump family allowed to not wear masks in the debate hall while everyone else has to follow these rules?" Because you had people on Biden's side all wearing masks. They were all following the rules by the Cleveland Clinic.
And weak.
Big,
giant masks. The biggest ones I've ever seen.
It's just a group of assholes. That's all they are. They're just big bullies who think they're better than everyone else, and they don't have to follow rules that apply to everyone. That's it. Why do we respect these people? Why do we elevate them?
At the core, That shows why they should not be leading anything. They are poor leaders. When you follow their example, you get sick and die. And we need that demonstration. Come on, COVID. Gotta kill at least like 5 or 6 of them. Because you already see the storyline of, you know, him recovering. Oh, it's no big deal. And it's literally what he's saying. I feel like making that up or like it's an exaggeration or hyperbole. It is literally what he's saying.
Well, it's just him talking about how great he is while he's currently killing hundreds of thousands of people.
And hopefully dying.
Potentially. Allegedly.
When you wish upon a star.
Ba, 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 ba.
So, hopefully, by the time you hear this, dear listener, we have a new president. And we'll be talking about how Mike Pence has no chance in the election against Joe Biden.
And the worst part about this whole episode is none of this will probably be relevant by the time we record our
next
episode.
Nancy Pelosi can be the president. I would actually hate that personally, but whatever.
I mean, it would be better than, again, talking about being practical, it'd still be better than Trump and Pence.
Yeah. And it'll only be for a month, so I can handle that.
So that's all I got. I got no more energy left. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you in the next episode. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at ThinkProPod. You can email us at thinkpropod@gmail.com. And remember, when in doubt, think progressively. And on today's episode, we will be exploring the events of the past week. Woo! What do we? I hate that. I said it like that's stupid.
Woo! The Ric Flair take.
And the last drug is actually dexamethasone. Steroid that usually helps with inflation. According to his...
Try that again. You said inflation.
Oh. I mean, it is kind of inflating. Well, and I do, right, yeah, hold on. I'm not good at this.